in the place with under some pressure. Hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back. The old Gravedigger. The back of the
club, Mac and Hall, my crew's behind me. I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Green Bay Packers fans, and welcome back to another episode of the Packer Report podcast with Gilbert Brown, brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Gilbert, how we doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Question is, how you doing? How you doing?
We're doing great, man. We're just trying to survive another day in the madness of quarantine. We've got obviously some other big news that we'll drop in a little bit. And let's dive straight into the news. A couple of really interesting things. And like I've mentioned, this is kind of fun for the Madden generation, for the younger generation who've done fantasy football drafts online, who have done, you know, Madden drafts online or had drafts done in franchise mode, playing video games. All of us that grew up in the digital age finally get to watch the pros do it, as the NFL draft is now fully online. A memo came out from the league that because certain teams were likely not going to have access to their facilities, they were going to take, or they did take, access to the facilities away from every team. So the NFL draft will be fully online. You will be allowed to only have a certain amount of people involved. Everybody needs to be at least, I think, 6 to 10 feet apart, but there is no one allowed at the team facility. So everybody is going to have to teleconference. Everybody's going to have, I think, a rock solid plan heading into the NFL draft, because these guys aren't going to be, you know, they're not going to be in the same room. They're not going to have the board up. They're not going to have the same resources that you would have in a normal year. Gilbert, are you a draft guy? Do you pay attention to the draft, or are you just kind of going to be interested in it because it's the first football we've had in a while and because it kind of might be a clown show?
Not really. I mean, you know, even when I was playing, you know, for me, I never did watch the draft. You watch certain players because you want to go see where they go, or if you're sitting around doing anything, you know that the draft is, you know, entertainment for the fans and these young guys getting on teams, you know. And now the way it's going to go, I don't know how you're supposed to watch it. Is it going to be on ESPN and coverage it is or what?
I think it'll look a lot like a studio show, you know, like NFL Primetime or NFL Sunday Countdown. I think you're just going to have, you know, experts, analysts, the guys that are still on ESPN, the people that are healthy. I would assume a lot of them have been tested. You know, the people that you're seeing on your TV now talking about football will probably be the ones. And then what they've talked about is going, you know, teleconferencing in live to teams after they've made their picks and asking coaches and general managers about the guys that they've taken. And honestly, I mean, it's quite obvious that the way that the draft has been done is completely unnecessary. It's cool, but it's unnecessary. The fans don't actually have to be there. The kids don't actually have to go up on stage. So I think it'll just be kind of a studio show. And they'll go talk to the teams, and then they'll probably, you know, Skype or Zoom or teleconference in the players. So you'll probably see some player interviews right after they've been taken as well. I think, you know, it's 2020. They're going to figure it out. I'm not concerned about it. But I think it's just going to be entertaining because it will be different. It'll be something different than what we've seen from the NFL draft for shoot the last 20-30 years, as far as when ESPN started, you know, took it over and made it kind of slowly into the event that it is today. And man, it's going to be real sports. Obviously it's not a game, but it's something that's happening, something that we missed. We're going to talk a little bit about what we've missed coming up here, but it's something that having the NFL draft, even in a modified format, is going to bring back some normalcy to people. I think it's going to bring back some routine to people. That's kind of what football fans have loved at the end of April. It always happens to be right around my birthday weekend. I was born on April 26th, so it's always been – that's always kind of been my birthday tradition, is just to get together with friends or family and watch a draft, because I love football. And that's you know, that's going to be – it's going to be different this year, but it's going to be not that different. The NFL released the all-decade team for the 2010s. Aaron Rodgers, Julius Peppers, the most notable Packers names on that team. Notable Packers that were not on that team, one that took specific exception himself, was Clay Matthews. Clay posted a lot of his stats from his career, thought that, you know, with his Pro Bowl appearances, his All-Pro appearances, some of his numbers, he felt like he was an all-decade, you know, kind of guy. The guy I really thought got hosed was David Bakhtiari, the Packers' left tackle, specifically over Tyron Smith, but I think he could have made a case over pretty much everybody that wasn't Joe Thomas, just because he's been that good. But as you know, he's kind of complained about, or I've kind of complained about, just hasn't seen the recognition for whatever reason. You know, two-time All-Pro, three-time All-Pro maybe, but doesn't even get the Pro Bowl looks because the fans haven't heard of him. That sometimes happens with the big uglies, with the offensive linemen, is the fans don't quite catch on. And then another guy who I really thought had a chance was Josh Sitton, who was a multiple time All-Pro guard for the Packers, was on the Super Bowl 45 team, and ended up, you know, also not a part of that All-Decade team. Gilbert, you guys put a couple of guys on the All-Decade team in the 90s, I believe. I know that's one of the big sticking points with Leroy not being in the Hall of Fame, is I think he's the only All-90s Decade team player to not be in the Hall.
Yeah, man. Sometimes you guys sit up here and you think the guys that smart, they dumbasses, tell you the truth, because they leave out some of the most important players and the most important feats that these guys done. You know, I always say, you know, I mean, you know, you ain't picked me because I had did this, you know. Your work is sometimes supposed to speak for itself. And for some of these guys that's given the nod, they don't see that. It's just a shame. You know, it's a crying shame, but you know, what can you do about it? You know, hopefully when their times are up, that they get that gold jacket. And, you know, that's the main thing that you want, that gold jacket. And, you know, oh, also on that draft thing, I want to go back and say that now the top three or four rounds get to see how the lower half live, because, you know.
Yeah.
There's no suit and tie. There's no getting up, holding number one jersey in front of a crowd, and being up there with the dude that's supposed to know it. What's his name? The commissioner. Yeah, that clown. You know, it's that's another thing you got to think about, is these kids have been waiting all their life to go up on that stage and hold that jersey up and tell everybody I'm number one. And front of the whole world, and that's not going to happen. So also, you got to put that mix in, that now the top half is going to see how the lower half live.
Yeah, and you almost do feel bad, though, just because it's kind of something that you feel like maybe those top guys earned as well. And I know it's how you feel, you know, the lower half lives, but that's a big deal. You know, that's a big thing. That's something that you know, the top guys, the Joey Burrows, the Chase Youngs, it's something that you feel like, you know, they've earned, and it's certainly not something they're going to get. I mean, that's obvious. It's just, that's not what's going to happen this year. They're probably going to get, you know, Skype or Zoom or teleconferenced in some way and get to, you know, have their moment in the sun. But you're right. It's not going to be in the middle of the Bellagio fountains in Las Vegas with Mr. Goodell. That's absolutely right. And yeah, so Gilbert kind of alluded to, we did have an addition to the Packer Report podcast team last Friday at 6 o'clock. Miss Berkeley Uglum was welcomed into the world. Mom and baby are doing great. We're very fortunate, as Gilbert mentioned before the show, that she is sleeping, I think, more than most, but she's super healthy. And yeah, I just wanted to, you know, it seems a lot of the guys that I came up with, whether it's Zach Cruz or Peter Bukowski or Jacob Westendorf, guys that cover the Packers that are sort of breaking into the businesses at the same time as I am, it seems like we're all kind of having kids. One after another, you're seeing birth announcements on social. So, Gilbert, you're a veteran. You're an all-pro dad. I had a chance to meet your son in Green Bay when we did the live show with our title sponsor, Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. And I just wanted, for me and all the rest of the new-ish Packers dads, if you could just lay down your best fatherly advice, that'd be great.
It's so much advice, man, that you can give. But I think that the most important thing is when you sitting there and you're looking at that bundle of joy, all these thoughts that you didn't have in your head pop in your head, you know, about, you know, keeping them safe and making sure they got everything that you can give them and the knowledge and everything. And sometimes, you know, as a father and a mother, do you get jealous because the baby spends more time with one or the other? But, you know, in the long run, as a father, you are put on this world when you become a father to hold, protect, and care. And you go to the lengths of the world to do that, especially the father-daughter thing, which you got right there. I have a daughter now. She's 18. And that girl got me wrapped around her finger, man, because, you know, she asked me something. I tried my best to do it, you know, because especially they're good kids, never been in trouble, never been on drugs, honor roll type stuff, man. That's the stuff as a father you're proud of, you know, and you know, play the little sports and different things like that. It's the things that you make that make them happy, and the things that you miss, get them a little upset. So as a father, I'm going to try to say the best thing you can do is always be there for them. Always be there for them. And be their father, not their friend. Be their father and take care of them, and they will more enjoy that. I learned that as growing up, being a kid, my mama was really tough on us, and none of us ended up in jail or on drugs or anything. And we used to get mad at her because some of the things she never let us do, you know. And now I see, you know, the sacrifices that you got to do. And my mom always tells me, I don't care if you're mad at me. I'm your mama. I'm not your friend. So this is the way it's going to be. And it worked out the way it did. And I think, and I love my mom. And like I said, man, the advice I can tell you is just always be there for her.
Appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. No, I'm excited. It's funny you say that, things you never thought. I mean, even she'll be laying there and I'll just kind of poke her just to make sure she's still breathing. You're always worried about them. You're always, always worried about them. My dogs come up and sniff and just kind of want to check her out. My wife, you know, is kicking them away like they're going to hurt her. They're obviously not, but specifically when they're so small and so vulnerable, man, it's a life-changing thing for sure. Folks, we just want to make mention of our friends over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They've been so instrumental to us getting going with this venture. I'm just looking at their website now, some of the images of their beautiful renovation. And we mentioned and tried so hard to make sure you guys are doing online order, takeout, and delivery. Right now, though, they have closed. They are temporarily closed due to Governor Evers' orders. And so there's no online ordering, takeout, or delivery at this time. The way that you guys can can support them right now is check out their online shop, check out their swag. I mean, they got some great sweatshirts, some great hats, polos, ways to kind of represent Stadium View if it's a place that you have enjoyed your time at. So certainly a place that Gilbert and I have enjoyed our time at. And the other way, obviously, is virtual gift cards. Just think about it as, you know, it's money that you're going to probably spend this summer, money that you're probably going to spend this fall. It's just a way to really consistently support a place that you know you're going to have a good time at later. But right now it's tough, and it's tough for a lot of businesses around this country. It's tough for a lot of you. It's tough for me. I mean, we get it. I promise you, we get it. But support local businesses at all costs. Right now, Stadium View Sports Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall is temporarily closed, just so everybody knows, but still available to grab merchandise out of the shop or grab those gift cards if you have the time. Gilbert, just let us know about some of your favorite things at Stadium View, and frankly, some of the things that you are most excited about getting back to in the fall.
Well, the things about Stadium View is self-explanatory. I mean, but it's the things, most of the things that we can't do right now. But Stadium View has a variety of things to keep you well entertained, and in the gear. Yeah, the gear is exceptional, and just one of those things, man. Where right now, it's just it just sucks, man. But we got to make the best of it, because there's nothing you can do but make the best of it. One of the main things of getting back to is getting out, seeing the fans again, seeing the people again, and seeing everybody run around and do the things that we wanted to do. I mean, it just sucks right now. But you know, we as people got to do our thing so we can get out and do these things and not be in this quarantine forever. So, I mean, we all just got to do our part to make it the best.
And that's a fantastic point, guys, from Gilbert there. The fastest way back to tailgating at Lambeau Field, the fastest way back to Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall, the fastest way back to everything that goes on, you know, on Oneida and Lombardi Avenue and McCarthy Way and Holmgren Way, everything that goes on in that part of the city, in that part of the state, the faster we can get there means the faster you guys stay at home, stay safe, don't spread the virus, do everything that you can to follow what the CDC and your local government, your state government is telling you, because I promise you they have your best interests in mind. They want to keep you safe, and they want to squash this thing and flatten the curve. And we've all seen the studies, the way that this thing grows exponentially. And if we stay inside and this thing dies off, we're going to get back to football. We're going to get back to all the great things that go on at your favorite local establishments, whether you're in the Green Bay area or not. That is the fastest way back. Gilbert, I did want to, you touched on it a little bit, but it's something I've always wanted to ask you about. What is, and we've talked a little bit about the approach to the draft for a draftee, because you were, I think, a second or a third round pick, and that we've kind of talked to that experience a little bit. What is it like for you, though, as a veteran in the draft, where, I mean, you mentioned you're not really watching it, but are you paying attention to, you know, what you feel like maybe your team lacks in a year, maybe like 2000 when they take a defensive tackle early, Steve Warren, I think was his name, or in 1999, they take Cletus Hunt. Are you paying attention when they take a guy at your spot? Just what's the veteran's approach to the draft? What do you care about? What do you not care about? What's that all about?
Well, really, you're thinking about the team, the needs and the wants that we have to feel. You don't take it personal when somebody is drafted at your position, because you're thinking about, you know, you're thinking about what's going to make our team better. You know what I'm saying? And not necessarily the draft where they draft a guy at your position or at defensive tackle, they're attacking you. Everybody knows that your team got to get stronger. And they also drafted for 2 or 3 years down the road. A lot of guys know, especially defensive line, know that when you're coming in here, unless you're an exceptional player, that your first thing is to start. I mean, you know, that's the thing with guys, veterans like Reggie. When you come in, he helps you. You know, if you come in, I help you. That's the thing about our team. You know, we helping guys because we know that everybody's going to be able to pour into the pot sooner or later. And you don't, like I say, you just don't take it personal, because if you do, you drive yourself crazy. Because I try to tell everybody, on Tuesday, which was used to be our day off, was Tuesday, that they would bring in so many guys. They would bring in so many guys at your position, so many guys at other positions. And you, if you're a selfish guy, you sit there thinking about, well, you got me. Why are you going out getting another guy? But they're always trying to find a replacement, or they're always trying to find a guy that is costs less than you, or whatever it is, and hope that they work out. Or if something happened to you, if you get hurt or sick or whatever, this guy can fill the role. So, I mean, it's so many dynamics to it. As a professional football player, you always got to be on your toes. You always got to be on your game. And they do that on your day off. So it makes you be conscious of that and keep working harder. I mean, because if you have no competition behind you, you're going to get complacent, period. And some of these things are designed to push you in other ways that you're not pushing yourself. So this draft is one of those things. Plus, you got to get new blood on your team. You got to get guys, because guys get old. Like, guys don't perform after a certain age. So, you know, this is all designed for your team to get better. So it's just the way of the world.
All right, but what have you got going on? I've noticed you're active on social. You and Dana talking trash back and forth. Dana Stubblefield, you and Leroy have something going on, like a cooking show. I mean, can you please explain to us what is going on?
Man, I don't know what I got going on. That's the thing, because, you know, I talked to Leroy. It take him 8 days to respond. I'm like, ain't you at home? What you got to do, man? Golly. But it's just something to do, or something to let the fans know that I'm out here and I'm still thinking about them and trying to give them content to, you know, take a little time out of their day and get their mind off the craziness of this stuff. And every now and then, if it's not a car, if it's not a player, it's not a this or not a that. And, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, where you also keeping in touch with the guys, you know. Making sure everybody doing the right thing, doing the things that they're supposed to do. You know, just being yourself, you know, being a great team player and doing stuff for the world. And hopefully people are enjoying that, you know, and until somebody says, hey, man, that's enough, I'm going to keep doing it. I'll just keep pulling in guys and having them get out there on social media and do some things. Because the world needs it.
Absolutely. What is your foundation doing anything kind of special during these times? What are you guys working on at the foundation?
Basically, just you know, a lot of the things that we had structured got canceled. You know, so it's just one of those things where, you know, we're trying to figure out what to do next. I still got my football camp that I usually do in the inner city of Milwaukee. Still, right now, you know, hopefully it can be done. It's usually in July, but don't look like it. But it's just one of those things, man, where, you know, you're trying to do things and stay in the right sanity mind. But, you know, this thing is tough, man. It's for real. And people need to start understanding that this thing is for real. I mean, when you turn on CNN or NBC or whatever, Fox News, whatever it is that you watch, it's showing you that this is for real. And we need to start doing what the people say, and young folks as well, man. Because, you know, all us old folks, man, we want y'all to sit down and pay attention. Watch some TV. Dude, we want you to be the couch potato that we don't want you to be right now, so that we can get out, get over this stuff, and get out and do the things we usually do.
Yeah, I've seen a lot of the comparisons, and I don't think they're that, you know, inaccurate or that out of line. It's, you know, the generation before us, and even the generation before that, when something awful happened in the world, you know, they were basically called to go to war. When something awful happened to our generation, we were asked to sit on our couch and watch TV and please don't go outside. So what they're asking of you is not that difficult. You know, there hasn't been, we're talking about the NFL draft. There hasn't been a real draft. You know, they're not asking you to do much. Just stay inside and stay safe. It shouldn't be that difficult. It seems like, though, sometimes it is. Gilbert, what do you miss the most? I mean, what do you wish that you were doing right now? What even Major League Baseball, the NBA playoffs, NHL, stuff that isn't going on that would normally be going on at this time. What do you miss?
Well, it's just the sports world. I was looking forward to finishing up watching the XFL and watching my Kansas Jayhawks. I want to start a petition, man. If the number one team was the team, then they should be the champs. I know people are going to kill me on that. But, I mean, it's just a lot of different things, man, that you would be doing that you're not doing, especially in the sports world, but also especially in life, man, because, you know, I was a guy that was always on the go, you know, up and down the road. You know, I don't fly, you know, unless I got to. But I'm always up and down the road doing the things I need to do. And now I'm tied to doing the right thing by staying in the house and only going out when you need to, and trying to set an example for everybody else. And it sucks, but, you know, this is what we got to do.
Yeah, people notice that I haven't complained that much about Gilbert not being able to travel, because it's a lot easier to get him to do the podcast when he's not on the road. You've right. seen very little complaining from me.
Right.
Yeah, I think more than anything, I was really excited. So, I mentioned a million times I'm from North Dakota. We didn't have a pro sports team, so I don't have what you would call regionally loyal sport. You know, I'm a Green Bay Packers fan and I'm a Minnesota Twins fan, and the Twins won 102 games last year. They had a big signing with Josh Donaldson, the guy that a lot of you remember from the Toronto Blue Jays, and then eventually with the Atlanta Braves. And they were maybe not going to be the favorites, but they were definitely going to have another exciting season. I miss baseball. I miss being outside. And obviously, you know, I think a lot of us that are sports fans miss the Masters. With Tiger's win last year, Augusta National, so beautiful on TV. To have it be the Thursday morning of the Masters and me not getting up like it's Christmas has been really sad. Because like I said, that was sure something that I look forward to every year, but now we'll get it twice in 6 months. They've moved it back to November, right smack dab in the middle of football season, which is unfortunate, but that's what I miss the most for sure. What's the first thing that you're going to do when this is all over, Gilbert?
Man, I don't know. Probably drop to my knees and thank the Lord that it's over with. That's the main thing. I mean, just and hoping, you know, that everybody's safe, because where I'm at right now is really bad. I mean, in the city, it's really bad. And people are getting really sick. And the main thing is just to thank God that your family's safe, and then go from there.
For sure. And, yeah, I mean, the first thing, you know, the thing that I'm really excited, and it's been tough you know, for my child to meet her grandparents from 10 feet away, you know, where they can't hold her, they can't touch her, they can't really connect with her. That's really the number one thing for me, is I'm just excited to be with friends and family. I'm excited to have them meet Berkeley. I'm excited to get back to the places where we, you know, we congregated, go to a bar like Stadium View, go to a baseball field, whether it be in Minneapolis or here at our minor league park in Fargo. Just, I think, thank God for, and it's like, man, I can't believe you're even saying that, but thank God for social media, because I think it's really kept us sane in this time, being able to connect with friends, connect with family, post pictures of my daughter, have people, you know, FaceTime us, have people call us, and just do your best to do that. I mean, stay connected. I like the change in wording. I like physical distancing, because we shouldn't socially distance. And I know that's the technical term, but I saw somebody change it to physical distancing instead of social distancing. Stay socially close. Stay sane. FaceTime each other. Call each other. Don't just text. Try and stay a part of each other's lives, because this isolation, I think, can kind of play tricks with your mind. Again, it's, people have been asked to do much more difficult things than sit on the couch and do nothing. But at the same time, people are having to file for unemployment. People, as Gilbert mentioned, are getting sick. This is very serious. And just do your best to make it through this, because when we do get through this, I think we're going to have a new appreciation for being able to congregate, being able to have fun together, for our sports, for the things that take our mind off the real world, for sure, for sure. Speaking of taking minds off the real world, did you have a chance, Gilbert, to catch WrestleMania? Because that is one of the events that they at least took the precautions and didn't have a crowd, but gave us some sense of normalcy, because that first weekend in April is always WrestleMania season.
Oh yeah. I'm a big wrestling guy myself. I watched day one. I haven't watched day two yet because
okay,
stuff going on around the house or whatever. But WrestleMania is one of those things that, you know, as a kid, man, you just enjoy, you know, going back to WrestleMania 3 with Hulk Hogan and Mr. T, and going from there. And it just, it's just, I mean, when you look at it, you know, it's kind of strange, because now you can hear what the wrestlers are saying. You know,
right?
It's kind of weird, because normally just listening to the crowd and all that other stuff. But you know, I'm a big wrestling fan, and along with a couple other things. But being able to still watch it is cool. You know, it's something that you was hoping that they didn't take away, and you got to take your hat off to these wrestlers, because they're putting their stuff on the line. It's just one of those things where these guys really do enjoy their craft, and they really do feel like they got a responsibility to the fans. So that's why they put it back on.
Yeah, it's been such an interesting shift. You know, as you mentioned, those guys that come out of the tunnel and you see their mouths moving, and, you know, they're talking shit or they're doing whatever, but you just see their mouth move because the crowd is so loud, and they're in the ring, and they're talking noise to each other and stuff like that. And, as you mentioned, yeah, you have the complete ability to hear what they're saying to each other now. And, some of that has to be good. You know, I mean, that's something they didn't have to worry about anymore. they didn't have to worry about what was being said because nobody could hear it. Now it's gotta be funnier. It's gotta be intimidating. It's gotta kind of go along with the show. What did you think of the graveyard match? Because I thought that, you know, I like whatever, the empty arena matches were fine, and some of them did a good job of creating drama. But what I thought was the coolest was that graveyard match between AJ Styles and The Undertaker, because that kind of, when you were in that match, you sort of forgot that the arena was empty, and that all those matches should have been in front of 80,000 people. And What did you think? Because I thought that was really cool.
Oh man, classic Vince McMahon to entertain the fans. You know, It's just one of those things, man, where you got The Undertaker, the most iconic wrestler of all times, man, and to see him do his thing in his realm, it was awesome, man. Just to see him get back on that motorcycle and put that gear on and go out there and beat the snot out of AJ Styles, whoever he is, you know, type dude, you know, and let them know that the Undertaker still owns the yard no matter what. And that was his spot, and it was entertaining. It was great. And just to see these guys be athletic and do the things that they need to do. I mean, people think that it's just get out there and run around. No, it's a science to that. If you ever was in a sporting event or a boxing match or whatever it is you do, you have to be in shape and you have to be able to understand that the other guy is trying to take your head off, playing or not, and you got to be ready for that. And these guys are superb athletes that can go 45 minutes at a time and be tired and still got to will yourself up to do the things that you need to do. My hat's off to them guys, and thank you for entertaining us, and long live the Undertaker, baby.
Yeah, it really was phenomenal, guys. If you have a chance, you talk about, and whether you want to call it wasting time or not, but you talk about time, and if you're looking for something, the first month of WWE Network is for free. And whether you were a wrestling fan and when you were a kid and, you know, you were a Hogan guy, or maybe you're more my age and you were a Rock guy or an Austin guy, and you're looking for something, they have every single pay-per-view since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
All the WCW stuff. They've got documentaries. They've got series that they've created. It is just this vault of content, stuff that you can watch.
I'm gonna tell them this though. Sorry to cut y'all, but
go ahead.
When you get, I'm gonna give y'all a treat. When you get to WWE Network, type in Reggie White or Gilbert Brown. You will laugh because we're on there. Just type.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
I did not know that. I'm gonna do that when we hang up.
Yeah,
I'm gonna.
Yeah, me and Reggie did a deal with them. Where were we at? We were in North Carolina. That was the time I was telling everybody and one of the things me and Leroy was talking about is that one of my top five chicken places was Bojangles. But me and Reggie, a little bit before the match, we went out and got us some Bojangles and sat down and talked about what we had to do. But it was just great just to be, you know, any alone time with your heroes is awesome. And that's just like when I tell everybody, whenever Jerry Kramer comes to town, I need my alone time with him. You know what I'm saying? Those things you cherish forever. And get that WWE Network so you can look it up and and you can laugh.
All right, guys. So there you go. Like you said, the network is always free for the first month. So if you have not, if you are not or have not ever been a WWE Network subscriber, you're a wrestling fan as a kid and you haven't caught up, or you just haven't taken the time, it's a very cool library to check out. If you don't like it, cancel after 30 days, no big deal. But yeah, once you get it, definitely use the search function for Gilbert Brown, Reggie White. That is a story that we might have to dive a little bit deeper into. Maybe a little rewatch podcast if we both flip it on and talk about what's going on. I think that'd be a lot of fun for everyone. But that is a topic for another day because we are almost out of time. I'm going to give you guys, I mentioned with my buddy What's on Draft, Mark Jarvis at What's on Draft on Twitter. He has that database of guys to watch. I was able to participate, folks, in a mock draft with 31 other GMs. So we had 32 guys. Each guy represented their team. I represented the Packers. I was recruited to do that or asked to do that. Was very happy to do that. And we all, over kind of a chat or a conference, made our selections for the team that we represented. And those results are on Packer Report Social. So I'm going to give you the top five picks as the guys to watch this week for the What's on Draft database. They've got tons of games where you can watch these guys. Get ready for the draft. It is 2 weeks from today, as exciting as that is. So in the first round, I took Denzel Mims, the wide receiver from Baylor. In the second round, I took Ashton Davis, who's a safety at Cal. He was actually so damn fast that he ran track at Cal as well. So he's an interesting guy. Jordan Elliott, a little bit of beef up front, 6'4", better than 300 pounds to help Mr. Kenny Clark. Jack Driscoll in the fourth round was the right tackle at Auburn, a young guy that can learn behind Rick Wagner for a year. And then we've got a little bit of a Tremon William replacement if they're not going to bring back Tremon in the fifth round of the Trajan Bandy. He's a nickel. He's an inside corner. He's a shorter guy, maybe even shorter than they'd be comfortable taking with. But, you know, I think a guy that could blitz a little bit, could tackle, can cover inside. Certainly not, you know, the outside corner. He's like 5'8", 5'9". You don't want him covering Julio Jones. But having him play inside against those smaller slot guys, not as you're not asking as much of him athletically. So I like Trajan in that spot. Go watch those five guys. They were the top five picks in the 32 GM mock draft that I participated in that they're going to feature over at fanspeak.com. It'll be really cool. Gilbert, thank you so much for your time today, buddy. This was really a lot of fun. Hopefully we provided about 45 minutes of escape for you guys dealing, obviously, with the coronavirus quarantine. We want to thank our title sponsor and really pray for them and think about them in this time over at Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. They're going through it just as we're all going through it, guys. We really, you know, think about local business at this time, not just Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. Think about local business. Think about what they mean to your community and how important it is that they make it through this. All right, everybody. Thanks again. Go Pack Go.